It's time for another Steve Dale Petcast, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years. Now, here's Steve Dale.
Welcome to another WGN Petcast. And I will tell you, this guest means a great deal to me personally, professionally. He has done so much. If you have a dog or a cat, this is the guy you need to find wherever the heck he is in the middle of nowhere in Idaho, crushing potatoes or whatever he does, and say thank you for what he has done. It's called, well, there's so much. Going back in time, the human-animal bond. It's not new, but he was the first, Dr. Marty Becker, to say, this is really important and it's changing for the better. But now an initiative called Fear Free. So I'll begin by asking you, Dr. Becker, what is Fear Free?
You know, it's like nebulous but easily understood by anybody that's ever experienced it. And so here's what it is, if I could say it in a short story. Most people, when they take their pets to the vet, the pet thinks it's going to be harmed or killed. So they end up dragging the pet in there, or that's in a carrier that's, you know, rustling around like a ride at Six Flags. And when they're finally done with the procedure, the dog takes them out at supersonic speed, almost cartoonish speed. The cat go home, is attacked by the other cats and doesn't eat for 3 days and has diarrhea. In a fear-free visit, it's very common for the dog to drag the owner into the hospital to have their nails trimmed. True story. 85% of the cats in the practice where Fear Free started, where I practice, that aren't sick or injured, will take a treat. And it's common to have it where they cannot drag the dog out of the exam room to leave. And basically, it's just looking at both the physical and emotional well-being of animals. And we have a little clever slogan that says, putting the treat into treatment. So it's a way to remove or reduce the fear, anxiety, and stress triggers, if they do rise up, to mitigate them. And we want to make it something where the pet literally and the pet parent and the practice team looks forward to an office visit.
Okay, there's a lot to ask you from that. So what would you say, as I know veterinary professionals have said to you, what's the difference if I just get the job done? And I suspect pet parents may have along the way said the same thing. So if indeed I could still do the blood work, if indeed I could still hear the pet's heart, if indeed I can answer questions about why that dog is having diarrhea, what's the difference?
Steve, you know me well enough. You and I have known each other for decades. I don't think I've ever told you this story. I was at the World Small Animal Veterinary Association meeting in Cartagena, Colombia. And there's a very well-known Dutch veterinarian that's married to a Brazilian veterinarian, and they live in Uruguay. And he's one of these top kind of scientists. And they were at this meeting, and I found out that he's very sensitive around his feet. And I got permission from his wife at the start of a talk on Fear Free to have him come up to the stage, sit in a chair, and be blindfolded. And I had six people holding down while he trimmed his toenails.
What? What? No, you never told me that story.
This is absolutely a true story, because I thought, you know how sometimes you think, how am I going to illustrate this, right? I used to often talk about going to the dentist when we were younger, and my sister Cheryl would get her ponytail pulled to keep her mouth open. When you and I were kids, you know, we're not spring chickens, as they say. Well, I'm not, Steve.
Thank you.
There was not the way the pediatricians were run could be pretty brutal. I remember crying one time, because I got an injection, and my mom stood up out of her chair and held her hand above her head. She wasn't going to hit me, but it was looked like it. And she goes, "Shut up, Marty! Don't embarrass the doctor." So now we know how they've changed, where you don't want a child to go to a pediatrician and them feeling like they're going to be harmed or killed. You don't want to go to the dentist where you're so freaked out you don't seek dental care your life. But, you know, could we hold down a dog with four people, and have I done it hundreds of times in the past? The answer is yes. We would hold it down. There would be 2 to 4 people holding it down. Sometimes, if it was going to bite out of fear, we'd actually put a piece of gauze over its muzzle and tie it shut. So when they breathe through their nose, but you'd also see their lips going, anal glands expressed, maybe a little urine, maybe a little feces. And then you got done, and the dog ran out of there and thinking, oh, God, I lived. Well, guess what? 90 days later, that dog's back doing the same thing. And so since people now think of their pets as their children, I think of you, Steve, with your dog and your cat. Those are your kids, and you know you as a pet parent don't want to feel like you're hurting them by trying to help them. Groucho, for example, your cat, and for the pet, you don't want them to feel like they're going to be harmed or killed receiving medical care. So, and why does that matter? So let's just say, okay, because you'll get clients who'll say, I don't care if you hold it down and do it, just get it done. I don't want to come back. Well, one, it's not right for the pet to do that. It's against our oath to protect or relieve animal pain and suffering, not to cause it. 2, it's not safe because of the bites. 3, we can't perform good medicine because the vital signs aren't normal. The physical exam's not normal because they're hiding pain and sensitivity. The blood work is not normal because we get something that you and I know called the leukocyte shift, which is basically the fight or flight response where the body kicks out white blood cells to fight infection, red blood cells to carry oxygen, glucose to fuel the fight. So you can't detect a pre-diabetic pet or a pet that has infection because of the increased white blood cell count. And so if we want to meet up with our oath, practice the best medicine, prevent injuries, and keep the mental well-being of the profession. You know, we know we have quite a suicide problem, a mental health issue. It's not fun when you love animals and you see that they're being harmed at your hands.
All of that, yes, with an explanation mark. And you said we need to keep, of course, veterinarians, you go to any veterinarian anywhere and there's a medical record. And you said we need to keep an emotional record as well. And now, all over the world, veterinarians are doing just that.
Steve, you know, I got to give you a little shout out at this. You've been part of Fear Free from the first puff into the whatever you call it, the first embers that were puffed into to light this thing up. So you've been part of this the whole way. And to think of where it started, and to think now having an emotional medical record. So, you know, before you go into the exam room, you always review the medical record. Well, now we examine the emotional medical record. We know that the pet might be sensitive in a certain area, that the pet prefers to be seen on the ground, not up on the table, that it has an area it prefers males or females, what treats it likes, what medications worked well last time, was there any areas of the hospital that caused, you know, like going up into the to take a radiograph or something where it had a bad experience. It's so amazing to have that knowledge in your hands. And the other thing is to know, you know, I was just in London, and I was on the subway, and they got emergency stop. And also, you know, when you get a baggage claim, there's an emergency stop. A veterinary hospital that does Fear Free has an emergency stop for a pet. If that pet shows, we measure fear, anxiety, and stress in levels 1 to 5. 5 is the worst it could be. The pet literally thinks death is imminent and is fighting for its life. If that pet goes up above level 3, where there's a chance of getting injured, a chance of the pet being injured, and or you know permanent psychological damage to the pet, we stop, full stop, and tell parents, pet parents, there's 3 choices here. One is to retreat, literally come back another day a different way. And the way I explain it to the pet parent is, I'm not going to sacrifice your pet's long-term emotional well-being for the convenience of getting this done today. 2 is to give it something orally and give it a half hour to an hour. And, you know, we call it something to calm the pet. And the 3rd thing is to give it an injection, which it literally is almost instantaneous. And it's something that we can reverse. So it's almost like turn a light switch off and turn it back on. But then this pet, even the ones where you know, Steve, you've been a big shelter proponent your whole life, and you get a pet from a shelter, and it's you're getting something partway through the movie. It's like going into a movie partway through. We don't know what all happened in their life. And unfortunately, that amygdala, that little thing that sits deep in our brains that holds all these memories of trauma, and the same thing in theirs, you can't erase it. So a lot of these pets, they have to be given pre-visit medications, usually something orally, so that they can have a great visit to the veterinarian as well.
But we can do that now. The medications are safe. They're available. 25 years ago, in defense of veterinarians who weren't doing that, greatly, these medications were not necessarily available. I want to talk about that amygdala you refer to when we come back on the Steve Dale WGN Radio Petcast with the one and only Dr. Marty Becker next. Hi, friends. Steve Dale here. Itch, scratch, rub, chew, repeat. Does that sound like your pet? Help is here. Zymox-based skin and ear care products can help calm and soothe your pet's angry skin or red infected ears. For 25 years, Zymox ear drops, topical cream, shampoos, and conditioners have been helping pets find relief. Zymox is available online on Amazon and Chewy, at Petco, PetSmart, and other fine pet retailers, and from local veterinarians. Dr. Marty Becker has written books upon books upon books upon books, some for veterinary professionals, many for all of you, pet parents, and created something called Fear Free. And by the way, there's a website we're going to tell you about in a little bit. I want to ask you a question. If you walk down the street, Dr. Becker, in Chicago, with a dog, likely in most neighborhoods, that dog is going to remember the bank, for example, that gave the dog treats. And if the bank goes out of business, or if it's a Sunday, the dog doesn't know, oh, it's a Sunday, the bank is closed, and stops right there. And if it's a 70-pound dog, how do you pull the dog away or convince it's closed today? Try reasoning with the dog. They know because they remember. I know with our own dog, there was a business that our dog still stops in front of that door, even though the business has been closed for 3 or 4 years now. But remembers, or the amygdala remembers, what a pleasant experience it was, just because, with a smile on their face, this small business gave the dog, our dog, cookies and any other dog in the neighborhood. And there might be other dogs there, which made it even more fun. Is it the same way in reverse? When the carrier comes out for the cat, or the dog realizes, uh-oh, I'm in the parking lot, but look at the parking lot I'm in. And do these animals, you kind of referred to it earlier, that these practices that aren't fear-free and previous to fear-free, do they actually believe I'm going to die?
You know, I remember the first time, Steve, that you said that. Because you're the ones that kind of said that they're not going to be harmed, but they actually think they're going to die. They literally think they're going to die. And imagine going, being taken against your will somewhere. I don't want to draw an analogy to the current war, but you're taken against your will somewhere. You have no idea why going there benefits you. Like, they don't know that they're going to vaccinate me against this, or they're going to check me against this new respiratory virus that's run up, or they're going to check this ear that looks like a fire pit, or examine my leg that hurts. And they don't have the concept of time. They don't think, well, I'll be here half hour, then I'll be out of here. And finally, they can't flee the threat. And so it's everything's stacked against them. And it's funny, you mentioned the store. We live on a horse ranch up here. It looks just like Yellowstone. Honestly, Steve, it's a big log house overlooking this 100-acre meadow with mountains all around. The dogs go up to the barn every day and run to one stall because there was a rabbit outside of it one time. And that was like 5 years ago. But it was so pleasant that they run up there and go into that. And this is where Fear Free has changed things. There's 350,000 people certified. We're in 117 countries. It's really changed behavior in veterinary hospitals and in the shelter world. But even the practices that aren't Fear Free, that haven't gone through the formal training, things have changed. There's much fewer pets being put up on the table. Temple Grandin, this icon in the animal welfare world and a friend of both of ours, says animals' number one fear from birth, all animals, is the fear of falling. And so what have we done in veterinary hospitals? Lifted them off their feet and put them on an elevated slippery table.
Yeah.
So you see practices, examine them on the ground. And there's a drug called gabapentin. So many cats now, instead of fight, flight, freeze, or fidget, it's like, I can't do the Cheech and Chong thing, but it's like, far out, man. Like, wow, this is nice, man. Just imagine smoke coming out of the veterinary hospital. We use pheromones. We use calming music. Our whole way that we examine pets is different. And I know, Steve, you lecture on that a lot, about that whole symphony, that thing that we do, the first hello until the last goodbye, and even the parking lot. The dogs that walk in and smell feces outside or have a vertical surface that hasn't been cleaned, they think they're going into Fight Club. Yeah. And fear-free practices clean that with a certain product and then spray back across it with a pheromone, and the pet thinks it's going to meet its mom or dad in there.
How important do you think it is for, if you're not thrilled right now with your veterinarian, as a pet parent, to consider a fear-free certified practice, or at least the individual veterinarian you're seeing being certified as fear-free?
So, you know, Steve, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier about how harsh. I was graduated in 1980. I was taught restraint. So if you think on an airplane, I don't know if you've ever seen a Karen on an airplane, Steve. I finally saw one. And she was restrained. So you know what that means, zip ties, right? Or if we talk about a suspect was restrained, it's the same thing in veterinary medicine. Restrained meant we call it cast a horse, and that means you trip them off their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And basically then hog time. You would have cattle or sheep in a squeeze chute to do a procedure like dehorning a cow. With dogs, there was the restraint was designed to do one thing, and that's protect people. Very harsh. In fear-free, it's called gentle control, and it is so much less. It's designed to protect the pet or the animal. So we use different techniques of examination of where they're examined, how we examine them. Use a lot more pre-visit medications, but it's so crazy to see. I remember your pictures of your dogs dragging you down the street into the veterinary hospital in Chicago,
yeah,
dragging you into the hospital. I want people to have that same experience. And right now in veterinary schools, there's 41 schools. I just found out about another new one. 3/4 of all schools now require fear-free certification of all students before graduation. So, and same thing for veterinary technicians. It's required by the 250 AVMA, American Veterinary Medical Associated Clinics, by the end of next year. So the whole profession is changing, but you find these people that have been around forever, and, you know, the rough tough, hold them down, take them in the back away from you so you don't see what's going on. If that's the case, and don't always think your veterinarian graduated at or near the top of their class. You know, talk to some people. Find out somebody that maybe has a gentler way, and give it a test drive, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, and your pet will be slap happy. Hey, by the way, Steve, you're a cat guy. Mm-hmm. I know you have dogs, and you talk about both, but your love as I think if you had to pick, you'd have cats. There's a new FDA approved oral solution for cats. I just found out today, called Bon Quat, B-O-N-Q-A-T. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have. I was just going to bring that up. So, yes.
Oh, darn you, Steve. Darn you.
Gabapentin is great, but not for every cat. And research, yeah. You might not know about this, because I don't know if it's been published yet, but some cats, actually, their blood pressure can take a dive if they're on gabapentin. So it isn't for every cat. It's not for every circumstance. So here's an alternative. But you don't need friends to know about this drug. What you need to know is your veterinarian will know. And your veterinarian today has options, has all sorts of tools for you. Some of them are behavioral. Some of them are pharmaceutical. Some of them are nutraceutical. I mean, some of them are pheromones. There's just so many options available. I want to ask you about one thing. So we live with our dogs and cats, and I think it falls under two categories. One is that sometimes it's clear our dog or cat that we live with every day is suffering day by day by day by some sort of mid-level, sometimes very high-level anxiety. It could be separation anxiety. It can be fear of noises that occur outside in the big city. It could be a fear of the cat carrier when the cat carrier comes out for cats. It can be a wide variety of things. Or that it isn't so obvious to the pet owner. The pet parent doesn't know, but their cat or dog is suffering from anxiety. Now, a little bit of anxiety is actually beneficial, the experts tell me. But when it goes too far, that's not a pleasant way to live for people or our pets. And you have a website that answers all sorts of questions about
this. Yeah, fearfreehappyhomes.com is complimentary to everyone. Steve, there's a study out that shows that recently graduated veterinarians are very poor at recognizing the subtle signs of fear, anxiety, and stress. The people that could, same thing with trainers and pet sitters thing, the people that could do it the best were practitioners with 20 plus years of experience. And I'm hoping that not just newly minted veterinarians and new trainers and groomers and pet sitters, but the public will start to understand not just the overt signs, not just what you see during a thunderstorm, or fireworks, or if you hear a gunshot, or a car, you don't hear too many cars backfire anymore. But the subtle signs, and a lot of times a cat that grooms too much, a dog that licks its paw all the time or excessively chews, or you see changes in food or consumption, sleep patterns. I was doing a live event last night, and the cat jumped and knocked into a lamp, and it made a certain ringing sound. And instantly, I noticed Cutie Pie, my little dogs, probably went to level 3, level 4 FAS. And so whether it's the vacuum cleaner, it's the neighborhood cat that strolls through the yard every day and agitates the cat, whether it's, they've gone to daycare and they're stressed out from... Everybody assumes the dogs love daycare and some hate daycare.
That's right.
So we want to make sure, and some of those, the benefits are there, but they just need to be on, like you said, a nutraceutical or a pharmaceutical or something so they still have a great time. But we can't, just like we wouldn't ignore it in two-legged children, we can't ignore it in our four-legged children.
And the information on this website, as you mentioned, is, first of all, I need to explain, you mentioned FAS. You are referring to fear, anxiety, and stress. The information on this website is absolutely free. It's fearfreehappyhomes.com. And the authors of the stories are veterinarians, veterinary professionals, behavior consultants. But that's not good enough. It's like a peer-reviewed journal. So everything that's written by anyone is then reviewed by another professional, often a boarded behaviorist. So it's an amazing website, an amazing resource, videos there too, which are fun to watch. Speaking of fun to watch, there are things for kids even, fearfreehappyhomes.com. Dr. Marty Becker, you know I wish I had much more time with you. I never have enough time, but it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Again, fearfreehappyhomes.com. Dr. Marty Becker, thank you so much.
Thank you, friend.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Steve Dale, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years.